Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show.
Today's guest is Rhonda Vettieri, CTO of Estee Lauder Companies.
I'm hoping I can get this into a reasonable time because there's so many different things that I'm particularly kind of compelled to ask you about. I think that, you know, one of the more interesting things that I've actually been talking about lately, and after I sort of read a little bit on you, I was kind of fascinated to ask you your opinion on it, because I'd been talking to quite a few people about this, and it's about kind of innovation. So I'm just going to kind of dive in and start talking about innovation. And we're at kind of a space now where everyone seems to think that kind of innovation is synonymous in technology. Right. And I think that's kind of where people initially look to seek out kind of innovative activities or innovation, I think, and technologies. It just seems to be synonymous now. I know you kind of focus a lot on people, and that's I'm a massive advocate of that as well. And I think that there's a big kind of space there at the moment where we have the technological capabilities, but it's engaging people in ways to kind of best use that technology that I think there's an opportunity for kind of change there. And I think that the people side of things, there is innovation to be had on that side. How do you kind of consider innovation? And, you know, do you look outside of technology typically to kind of, you know, I suppose, disrupt or innovate as much as you do on the actual technology itself?
Yes, I think it's a great question. And innovation, it seems to be one of those buzzwords now, Andy, just like quote unquote cloud was, and now digital. Now it's innovation, whether it's artificial intelligence. But I look, to your point, the people aspect of it. You can do things that are innovated every day that have nothing to do with technology. I mean, seriously, outwardly, from a leadership perspective, I'll give you an example, whether it's working differently, pulling people together outside of their comfort zone to solve a problem, that's innovation too. And outside technology, how you work, I think it's always important when you think of being innovative is approaching a problem differently and keeping in mind what is the business outcome we're trying to do. So I really table it twofold. Yes, outside technology, innovation outside technology, but also how do you drive that business outcome with the right people in place? So I never want to lose sight of the people aspect. I'm so glad you asked, because leading people through how to become innovative, how to do design thinking, how to be creative, It is an art, because everything is so online now, just like this. We're not face to face. Everything is so differently in the world now, and it will continue to evolve.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, and something that I personally had recent experience with is implementing new technologies, new methodologies, new things, whatever they might be, without going into too much detail. And it was never kind of the creating and then kind of building the infrastructure that I found as difficult as it was having people adapt their behaviors to it. And, you know, I'm nowhere near as an experienced leader as you. So it's something that, like, I'm always like looking to try and get better at is, you know, how to kind of, you know, how to best go about that. And the advice I get from a lot of people is, I suppose, that well, it's different for everyone. And I think that that's true because everyone kind of reacts to change in different ways. But I suppose internally, there's obviously a structure involved with how to best approach that. You know, I was just wondering if you kind of had any experiences similar to that where, you know, you kind of internally managed it so that you could kind of help people adapt to change, I suppose.
Absolutely. Even the way we work, it was a couple years ago, how to roll out simple thing is, remember the old IM instant messaging? And how we were changing back then in the world on how we had to drive people, literally drive them to use the technology and work that way. And eventually taking phones off of people's desks, to be honest, Andy. And it's been an evolution going from instant messaging to actually speaking through your computer, not having a computer, you know, a phone on your desk. And some people don't like that at all. And to your point, how do you deal with that and lead them through change? It's showing them it can be done, and technology, something will always happen. We know nothing's perfect in the world, right? But you have to lead them and be an example yourself, actually, on how to drive and use the technology. But you're right. People are in different places. I think it's important that no matter where you work or where you live, there could be a different technology. For example, how we're doing this via how we're doing it today versus using a different product. It's all different, and it's a different in different countries, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting in kind of the way that I suppose we're in a place where innovation is kind of a must. And I'm sure, like, I'm at an advantage where I do feel as though, you know, I have forward thinking people around me. You know, I'm sure you work alongside a lot of people within technology who are just that way, if not more so. And mm-hmm. even then, what you tend to get is still pushback on change. So mm-hmm. It's managing that. And as you said, I really like that kind of idea of, you know, I don't know whether it's exactly that way, but like servant leadership is quite the buzz term, I think, that people tend to like to use, where it's, you know, mm-hmm. leading by example. And that kind of stands. And I think that I'm still an, you know, avid believer that I'll try not to kind of say things or do things or try and get people to work in a certain way unless I've fully adopted it myself. I'm sure it gets difficult at different stages, but I still think that that does make all the difference. As long as you're kind of, you know, waving the flag yourself, I think that's kind of the first step, isn't it, to kind of fully comprehend it for yourself as a leader.
It is. And you know that old saying, I'm a big proponent of not just leading by example, leading from every chair. And this old saying, Andy, you know, you have to eat your own dog food. If you can't be a sponsor of it, why are you using it and trying to roll it out? But I'm a firm believer of leading by example that way.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm sure that's not a problem for you with the on the makeup side of things as well. My girlfriend's like a huge fan of the organization that you...
Oh, she, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Well, it's interesting coming from different industries into this. It's technology is the same no matter what industry you're going into.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was just...
It enables a lot of things.
I was just thinking that. I was like, yeah, that's true. And actually, you know what? Like, if my girlfriend worked for you guys, I'm sure she would be a big proponent of using the... making the change and trying the latest and greatest things out. But but I think that it is massively important. And, you know, change is something that we have to deal with, like, so much now. Obviously, again, leading it back to technology, things are changing at such a rapid rate. You know, I know that you kind of have always been, you know, a huge advocate of technology. And, you know, from what I understand, you know, you appreciate it for the outcomes, you know, as much as, you know, the actual technology itself. I'm kind of feel very similar to the way you do. It's about outcomes and how does it enhance business practice? How does it enhance people's lives? How does it kind of do all these things? And obviously, as long as it makes sense from that perspective, like, I'll look to adopt it. But it's interesting, I suppose, just to think back, you know, how quickly technology is changing now to, I suppose, when you first, you know, got involved with technology. I mean, what, I mean, it's sometimes it's hard to comprehend, I suppose, like the change that we've seen.
Right. It is. It's going from literally a WAN computer terminal going to artificial intelligence, A to Z, very quickly.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And, you know, trying to keep up with all that and, you know, making sure that the technology makes sense for an organization, I think it's quite difficult. I'm sure this is, again, something that you deal with quite a lot, in that the technology, the latest and greatest, is out there for us all, right? But does it make business sense and outcome sense? I think this is actually something that's quite difficult for businesses and people who are working within technology to kind of manage, is, you know, when to invest, and are we actually getting the latest technology just for the sake of it, or does it actually make sense from a business perspective? I think it's something that's actually becoming a really weird problem to have, is that we have too much of something and things are in changing at such a fast rate that we're having to manage, like, is it worth going into this latest and greatest technology?
It is. And always ask the question, how much change can the organization withstand at once? I think that's important.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And is that something that, you've witnessed quite a lot in recent times, is kind of that having to tell people, you know what, guys, this might not make sense right now. I know it looks all bright and shiny, but it's not the best thing for you.
Right. I mean, the biggest thing, sometimes the latest and greatest is not always the best, because it's bright and shiny. Yes, you'll get on the bandwagon. And I don't want to promote one product here, but some folks do it better than others. But you do want to have a different, you know, at least it being rolled out for a while. And how much change, what other initiatives and strategic initiatives are going on that can handle a massive change. So always pulse checking, how much can we do at once to drive what, again, coming back to business outcomes, what are we trying to drive for what outcome, for when, what's the benefit, and keeping that in mind rather than, oh my goodness, this is the latest glitz and glamour, let's go for it.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think it's so important. And when I talk with, you know, team leads or, you know, engineers and such people now, when they look at the hiring process, for example, it's always interesting that they say, you know, as much as, you know, people have to kind of tick a few boxes on the skill sets, actually what we're kind of looking for now is people who do understand kind of the macro economic side of the business and what we're actually trying to work towards, and that kind of, innate vision that an organization is trying to achieve. And having that kind of clarity on the business side of things, they're saying is that, you know, we need people who actually fundamentally understand that, because otherwise it can be very easy for them to kind of get lost in this kind of technology buzz.
Yes, they will get lost. We have to reel them back in.
I bet. And, you know, I think for someone like yourself who's had the achievements that you've had, it's very obvious that you've always kind of understood that. And I suppose I'm just curious, but do you feel like you've always kind of understood that, and the business side of things has always made sense to you?
Have I always understood? I think you learn it early and as you go on your career, because coming technology, so much so when technology first started, Andy, people were like, oh, here's the latest and greatest. This is what you have to use. This device, be specific. And we grew up in that environment as the world society, thinking there's only one thing for a particular product. And we had, you know, data centers all around the world. We don't have that anymore. You know, the world's evolved. So you had to learn to adapt to that as the evolution of life. And then driving the business outcomes, a part of that, you have to gut check yourself, because the worst thing you want to do is spend a bunch of money. It's going to become obsolete.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's such an interesting problem that we have now, and one that's like, we didn't even necessarily have this problem sort of 10 years ago. So it is a kind of a new problem to have, but nonetheless one that we're going to, I suppose, have to deal with and manage more and more.
Right.
You know, when, technology has always, I suppose, always been relatively interesting on some extent. Now I think it's just more accessible. When you look back, was it, or were you always interested in technology from kind of an early age, or was it something like you say that it was really the outcomes that were fascinating to you?
It was the outcomes that were fascinating. I just fell into technology. I did not go to school specifically for technology. It was a more international business, communications, and management. So thank goodness I fell into it, Andy. I love it.
Yeah, I know. It's fantastic. And the things you can do with it are fascinating as well. And, you know, I know that obviously leadership within technology is key and something that, you know, you're kind of proud of. And, you know, I read something that you were saying about how you challenge people and yourself. I think it was like 3 times a day.
Yes.
You know, something that I found really interesting. And I actually had that kind of moment where I thought, do I actually challenge myself 3 times a day? And I don't know that I could have confidently said yes every single day. I try to do it, you know, as much as possible, I suppose, on a subconscious level. But it's interesting that you think about that, I suppose, consciously. You know, so how did that start, and how do you kind of fit that into your day?
That's a great question, Andy. How did that start? It started, gosh, years ago when I was in early in leadership, and I was saying to myself, if I'm not challenging myself and becoming a better person or leader, then how am I really leading a team? Just for example, if I'm not being healthy and doing a fitness regime, how can I be healthy enough to lead a team? And how do you challenge and put goals in front of yourself to become better and always go across the finish line even more and knock it out of the park and exceed expectations for whether it's your business stakeholders, whether it's your friends or your family? You know, it goes through your whole aspect of life. So I do challenge my friends even, Andy, not just people at work, and myself. So it came across a different way of thinking to better the team also. And it's become a mantra that I really believe in, because you need to always have a goal and you need to always push yourself to get there, because the world's changing. And I just feel like if I am not pushing myself, how can I lead someone and pushing the team to drive through conflict, quite frankly, in a nice way, whether it's getting folks to think in a different mindset, you know, challenging folks in different ways and myself.
Yeah, I think that is a very, I think, natural thing that would come to a person, to have that kind of willingness to do that. But I also think that you can work at that also. I suppose you've probably seen examples of this and even tried to kind of motivate people to be a bit more that way inclined. You know, it's clearly, you know, a positive way to be and I suppose a positive way towards, you know, getting to where you want to be in life and in your career, etc. But,
right.
You know, have you had to kind of motivate some people at times to, you know, to want to get to that point? Is that kind of, I suppose, one of the more rewarding things when you do see people kind of change so much to where they actually enjoy that, you know, being pushed?
Yes. Have to motivate a lot of people along the way to do that. And they either like it or they love it, Andy. And it's great to see. One of the most rewarding things is to see people change and push themselves outside of work and inside, whether it's all of us before going to a business meeting or traveling together. Some people be at the gym at 4 a.m. They know I'll be down there running. It's great to see people work it into their routine and actually change their lives and their kids, actually. So not just at work, but in their personal lives too.
Yeah, that is fascinating. That is fascinating. And obviously we're talking kind of loosely around fitness. I'm also kind of an advocate that makes such a tremendous difference. I suppose just to mentally as much as anything as well. It's interesting though, when you have people who do become more difficult to be motivated. And typically what I find with those people who, you know, you really struggle to get the most out of them is that they don't see the kind of the rewards, the long-term rewards. What people, I think, get stuck on is kind of short, instant, quick rewards. And I think we're, you know, everyone's guilty of that. They can only see short-term. And I think sometimes to really adapt you know, your life, the way you approach things, you have to have that kind of long-term understanding of what this is going to mean for me down the road. And I think that, you know, a lot of people get caught up in that short-term, brief, like, what am I getting right now? And I think to get out of that is one of the hardest things I've seen to have people overcome. They want right now, not long-term.
Right. Exactly. You're right. They have to get out. They have to, it's a mindset shift, long-term versus short-term. It really is.
I agree. And I think that you have to kind of be bought into it as well. Like, I'm sure that there's certain aspects of your role that, you know, really keep you motivated, right? You know, I think that you probably get out of bed and the things that keep you awake at night, so to speak, there will be certain things that, you know, are huge motivating factors for you, you know, internally. And I also wonder with some people whether, you know, what they're working towards, they actually want it enough sometimes. And sometimes you do have to kind of shift and realize, what am I working towards, what I actually want? And I think there's that side of things as well, isn't the realization? I mean, you know, I'd be curious as well to know, like, those motivating factors, but also, you know, just, I suppose, elaborating on people that, you know, are you even going down the correct path here, or are you just doing it because it sounds like the right thing to do?
Right. Yes. And you have those aha moments where some folks it'll trigger and go, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you have to kind of understand that as well. I think it's from a personal level, I think people get stuck, and rightly so. There's so many responsibilities now that we have, you know, financially, I need to pay the rent, I need to pay this, that, the other, you know, and you kind of get stuck on that cycle. But I think that there's always options, isn't there, now? And, you know, technology, the great thing about it is now, as I can do a quick search and you know what the marketplace is saying, you know what you have to kind of do to get there. And so people can change, but at the same time, you still need those, like, motivators. And, you know, I'd be curious to know, like, what the major motivators for you, and what makes you kind of continuously work hard.
Oh, good. What continues to motivate me? Motivating me is seeing folks, the team develop. And I always say I work for the team. That's a big mantra of mine. Just like, I'll challenge myself and the team 3 times a day if I'm not doing my job. What keeps my energy going is seeing the career progression, loyalty through the industry, seeing people grow. But what keeps my energy level up is my mind space to think, which sounds, you know, you have to have that time to think and get into your own zone. And how I do that is my fitness regimen, and it's doing triathlons and training for Ironmans. And you might find it funny, but how I do that is I do not carry my iPhone, even though I'm in technology, when I'm running. I do not listen to music, Andy. It's totally quiet. I want to hear the birds, and I have time to think about everything I need to do. And it gives me that moment to push myself on the next thing I'm going to accomplish.
Interesting. I like that. It's like that freedom, like that. Yeah, it's like digital detox, isn't it? That gets you.
It is. It is. I want to hear the birds. I want to hear the horns. I want to not have, you know, responding to an email. I mean, I might trip looking at a text, but I don't listen to music. I'll have it tied to my hip in case obviously an accident happens or a car hits me or something, but by running, but I'm not, that's my time to pause for a moment. And I think it's important in life. We're all so busy. We have a million things coming at us, no matter who, you know, no matter what you're doing. That's just a fact of human nature. You have to have that time to think. You really do.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like say you're an athlete, you're always working out, that's your time. I'm a golfer. I like that time as well. I like to just go play 9 holes and just leave the phone in the car and, you know, just have that kind of freedom to just be, you know, think things through. And I think that's, it's so, so important for people now. And I think that there's just too many distractions, isn't there? So, now, you know, phones being the major one, to be honest. Having that kind of freedom to think things through is, yeah, I would encourage anyone to do that. So I think that's great. Great advice. And
yes,
and I'm sure. Yeah, exactly. I think it is. And For me as well, I think what comes along with that now as well is this, and this is quite a cliched statement, but you know, is this kind of glorification of like being busy and like looking busy. And you know, I think you're based in New York, right? I think that's kind of the capital of the world of people looking extraordinarily busy, right? And I just think that let's kind of get away from that, have the clarity of thought, think things through and execute and be kind of more strategic with the way that we kind of execute on activities is what I try and encourage people to do, as opposed to kind of just doing and then spinning in circles, then realizing, oh God, what have I just been doing? I don't realize, you know. I think that's kind of another extension onto why it's so important to have that kind of clarity of thought, especially for kind of, you know, within the workplace.
It's true, because your thoughts go so fast and you're like on a hamster wheel and you have to pause and think. You have to have time to think. Even even work days, we have so many back-to-back meetings. Everyone has that same problem with quote-unquote time management. But I always block in time to, you know, think, even if it's just for a half hour or at the end of the day, always on a commute home, I know it's my time to think, or when I'm working out, obviously. But if you don't have that time to think strategically, it's always tactical. And to your point, it's just, you know, you're going and going. And if you're just tactical, you're just doing pointed solutions. You're not looking at things holistically. And you have to look at things end to end and holistically, even in life.
I agree. It's so important. Someone was telling me actually about these flotation tanks. Have you heard of these things? They sound really cool. I might try and give one a go, but it's like, I think it's just like, you know, it's like really like salt water and you like float on top of it. It sounds really cool, and they just kind of shut it off, and it's supposed to get you into this like weightless like environment where you can just think. But I don't know whether that would work for me, because when there's not enough I need enough going on to where like my mind doesn't start racing. But I think they're really interesting. You should look at them. I keep thinking about trying to give it a go and just seeing if I can really get to that state of calm. Because I tried yoga and all that stuff, but it doesn't. It just hurts. Like I'm just too inflexible.
I've tried yoga too. It just, my mind can't get there. I'm more of a cardio person. Yoga drove me nuts, unfortunately. So I apologize about that. If anyone's listening, this is huge yoga, but everyone, you know what the message is, Andy? Everyone has their own zone that they have to figure out in life what works for them.
Yeah, I think so. And all we can do, as I suppose, as, you know, from a leadership perspective, is just facilitate and try and, I suppose, point people in the right direction, have them, you know, give them advice, give them examples of what they could potentially do, and then people will find it eventually. But, you know, as long as we're kind of understanding and personable, you know, as you clearly are, I suppose, is, you know, really fundamentally understanding the people who, you know, you're surrounded by each day, and then obviously offering that advice. It's something that the people skills side of things is, you know, it's really undervalued, because it's difficult to kind of quantify the ROI of like being kind to people, or, you know, actually helping people, or the way that you articulate with people and the environment that you create for people to be in. It's a really difficult one, because it's difficult to quantify those results when you're reporting to your seniors. But nonetheless, I'm ultimately convinced that it's such a undervalued art that I think inevitably does contribute to, you know, KPIs and successes for the business.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because if you're not happy enjoying what you're doing and leading, and it impacts not just the morale, but people don't know their purpose and what they're doing. We spend the majority of our time at work. In the whole people aspect, firm believer, that's the key to success. It really is.
Yeah. I think so, because everything else can be taught, can't it? Skills, you know, some people learn things faster than others, but eventually, as long as you want to learn it, you will learn it. And, you know, but the people side of things is something that, you know, you can really cross over into different industries, different, you know, different positions, whatever. And that your approach is what's going to allow you to do so and kind of be successful at you know, whatever it is that you want to pursue. The only thing,
right.
Yeah, the only thing that'll never happen for me is I'll never be in the NBA, no matter how much I want it. You know, 5'9", like it's just not happening. So I think I can be as nice as possible there, but that's not going to happen. But other than that, I think everything else is pretty much achievable.
That's great. Well, I'm sure you're successful in everything, Andy. You need to have more time to play golf.
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm struggling at the moment as well. So I need more time to play golf. God, I don't understand why my boss doesn't get that. It's so, you know, I need...
Hopefully this helps that.
Yeah, I'll send this bit to him. I'll send a sound bite to him. Say, Rhonda approves of this message. Let Andy play more golf.
Exactly. Two thumbs up. It helps. More productive.
So, I'm conscious of time as well. I don't want to keep you forever, even though I certainly could.
I was welcome, Andy, more dialogue on any topic. I love your style.
Well, just closing thoughts for me as well. You know, I think that, you know, we've covered, like, you know, your motivators and stuff like that. But, you know, I'd be curious to know, you know, I know obviously you work within technology now. You know, you've worked with a lot of compelling companies over the years, you know. From the technology front, what are you kind of really excited to see happen? And this can be anything, fun, personal, or, you know, something that's business worthy as well. You know, that you're really excited to see that, you know, is right around the corner.
I'm excited to see how we are changing and how, I mean, the industry is changing to get anything anywhere very mobile, have it delivered anywhere around the world, and not have to go specifically to a certain area to get a niche, elite boutique-y item. I'm a shopper, so in fashion, you can get anything at your fingertips, and how you get that is very, very important. And some folks might not like a lot of the stores going away, the brick and mortars, but when you're in Asia and you want something, boy, you can get it very fast. And I'm very excited to see the different influences of the globe coming to America and vice versa. Because the world where you are is changing. It is. The speed is changing. And I'm excited to get things more quicker, to be honest, Andy.
Yeah. Well, I like that. I like that. I'm a big fan of all the food delivery services now that are available to us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I certainly I can second that one very much. I think that's what we want from technology, isn't it? Is convenience, I suppose. So yeah, I hugely second that.
Yeah, and customize what you want. You can customize now what you want. You're not just in a standard box anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, and you know, from a, like you say, from a golf like looking at it from a golf perspective, there's golf clubs now that only the pros used to be able to get their hands on. Now everyone can get tailored, bespoke, and whatever. I just wish they'd bring the prices down a little bit, because I want them.
Oh, they will. I'm sure they will, especially with Nike going out of business in golf. But I can't wait to see the technology actually in a golf club when you're hitting that ball to look at your yardage and just some fun things that they can do in that sport. I just love the technology in the sporting arena. I'm excited about all those changes, whether it's football, the technology, and their different helmets. I just think it's fascinating to me.
I think so. I really like that as well. It's different than AI. A lot of people say AI when I ask that question, so I'm glad that you have a slightly different take on that. Not that AI won't play a role, I'm sure, in a lot of these technologies, but you know, it's great to kind of get that, because it's fun. It's a fun reason to use technology.
It is, and it's tied to health and wellness, Andy. It ties back to go full circle from your, you know, our chat. That technology is tied to health and wellness, which as a leader and as a person, as a human, I'm so passionate about, as you can tell. So utilizing that for health and wellness and technology, I am so excited about it.
I agree. Rhonda, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time. Hopefully we can do this again soon. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, please, anytime. And thank you for your time and all your great questions.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website venturi-group.com and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.